If you guys are new to our church, we are going through the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 9 is our chapter today. Acts chapter 9, which is on page 917 in the chair Bible. If you don't have a Bible, please take a Bible from the chair. That's your Bible. Page 917, Acts chapter 9. As a church, just so you know, we are reading the New Testament. And so we are finished with Mark and Acts, and now we're getting into Hebrews. So that starts tomorrow. If you want to join with our church in this reading, these are the bookmarks. Acts chapter 9 verses, I don't know, we'll just cover some things in Acts chapter 9. Before we get into it, I want to pray. Let me remind you of what we're doing here today. I'm not telling you what I think. You really shouldn't care that much about what I think. You should care about the Word of God. And so my job today is to present to you the Word of God to the best of my ability. We're going to talk about a man named Saul, a man named Paul. It's the same man. If I say Saul or Paul, it's the same person. And so we can learn great lessons from the Apostle Paul. And so I'm going to pray that God will speak to our hearts today about the Apostle Paul. So let's pray before we get into it. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. I'm thankful for your life on this earth. But sometimes when we look at your life on this earth, it is unattainable because you are God and we are not. And so sometimes we are thankful for the Apostle Paul because he's a man just like the rest of us. He made significant mistakes in his life just like the rest of us. But you used such a broken and wretched man for your glory. And so we hold on to Paul as an example for our lives, Lord. No matter what we've done in our lives, no matter what junk we bring to the table, you can use us in a mighty way. And so, Father, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts today as we learn about this man and just allow us to grow in whatever way necessary. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So if you are reading with us in the New Testament, we just finished the book of Acts. And here's what you've seen in the last part of Acts, or the second part of Acts, the second half. What you've seen is that the Apostle Paul is an absolute rock star for the glory of God. No matter where Paul goes, he has an impact for the gospel. Some people hate Paul and some people love Paul. But no matter where Paul goes, he has an impact. No matter where, what city he steps in, no matter what house he goes into, doesn't matter if he's preaching to thousands or preaching to one, Paul has an impact for the glory of God. And so at this church, we do not hope that you faithfully just attend on Sunday morning. We hope that you have an impact in your world for the name of Christ. We hope that out in your world, in your neighborhood, in your place of work, that you are impacting the people in your world with the gospel. And so we are going to learn a lesson from Paul as we study through this part of Acts. Let me just ask you a question. Why or how was the Apostle Paul so effective in reaching people with the gospel? What made Paul so effective in ministry? A lot of people will say his education, because he was trained by the Pharisees. He was well educated. That's not the reason he was so effective. Some say because he was a Roman citizen and that allowed him to go wherever he wanted to go. That's not what made him so effective. Some people say that it was Paul's passion and his drive and his perseverance. That's what made Paul so effective. Those things were important to Paul's ministry, but those are not the things that made Paul so effective. It wasn't because he was so educated. It wasn't because he was so smart. It wasn't because he was a religious leader. It wasn't because he was passionate. Because the truth is that he had all of those things prior to Acts chapter 9, and he was very ineffective for the gospel. There is something that we see change in Acts chapter 9 that makes Paul the witness that he is for the name of Jesus Christ. So what is it that made Paul so effective? Now I'm going to tell you something and you're going to be like, I got out of bed for that. Okay, I'm just going to give you up front. You're going to be like, I could have figured this out. Here's the key to Paul's success in ministry. Paul did whatever Jesus told him to do. That, and that alone, is what made Paul so effective. That's what made him so effective. Paul did whatever Jesus told him to do. He didn't do what he thought was best. He didn't do what he thought was the right thing to do. He didn't do what people around him told him to do. He did what Jesus told him to do. And that's what made him so effective. That is the key to Paul's ministry. He did what Jesus told him to do. Now in Acts chapter 9, we see this traumatic event happening in Paul's life. After Acts chapter 9, Paul does what Jesus tells him to do. Prior to Acts chapter 9, Saul, or the same man Paul, did not do what Jesus told him to do. So here we start in Acts chapter 9, verses 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for the letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, that is Christianity, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Here's what Paul, prior to Acts chapter 9, was doing. He was opposing the name of Jesus Christ. He was hating Christians and he was throwing them in jail. He was looking at the death of Christians and saying, that's what should be done. Those Christians should be killed. The Apostle Paul was a passionate murderer against Jesus Christ, is what he really was. And so when Jesus came on the scene, it was kind of confusing because the Jews had their faith and Jesus was a Jew. And Jesus said, hey, I'm the Messiah that you've been waiting for. Jesus made the claim to be God. And every Jew had to look at the truth about Jesus Christ and make a decision. Is he really God or is he just a man pretending to be God? Paul made his decision. Paul said, Jesus, you are not God. Paul looked at the evidence, he looked at his education, and he said, Jesus Christ is not who he claims to be, and I will not follow Jesus. And if Jesus is claiming to be the one true God of Judaism, and he's not really the one true God of Judaism, then Jesus is a threat to Judaism. And so Paul made his choice, and he says, I reject Jesus Christ as God. Therefore, he is a threat to my faith, and I'm going to do everything I can to take him down. And so when they hung Jesus on the cross, Paul would have said, that's what should have happened. And afterwards, when Jesus dies and resurrects, and these Christians start showing up, Paul says, not going to have it. I'm not going to have the name of Jesus spreading around. The name of Jesus is a threat to my faith, is what Paul was convinced of. Here's the hardest part about as we study Paul. Paul believed with all of his heart that what he was doing was right. Not only did Paul believe that what he was doing was right, he believed that it was godly. He believed that the God of the universe, who he worshipped, was looking down at his murderous threats against God's people and was saying, good job, Paul. Paul thought. He didn't think like, oh, I don't know. He knew that what he was doing was right. Paul was not a stupid man. He was not going to do things just for the sake of it. He was not going to do things because everybody else was doing it. He was going to do things because he thought it was right. And so here is Paul throwing Christians in jail, throwing Christians to the courts to be killed. And he thinks that what he's doing is right. He truly believes that his goal in life is to oppose the heretical teaching of Jesus Christ. He thinks that what he's doing is right. How many people in your world think that what they're doing is actually good? We have so many examples of people who really believe that the terrible things that they're doing are good. So here Paul comes to Acts chapter 9. He's on his way to persecute more Christians. He's on his way to kill more Christians and throw them in jail. And this is what happens. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? Now, think about this. You've convinced yourself that the right thing to do is to oppose the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not God, and his whole group needs to be taken down. And he gets blinded on the road, and he hears a voice and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And this is what the voice says. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Talk about a gut punch. Talk about cutting your knees from under you. You've spent your life thinking the right thing to do is to shut this man up and to shut his people up. And from heaven, a voice says, hey, I'm Jesus, whom you've been fighting against. And I love what Jesus says in chapter or verse 6. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. I love that. Jesus is basically saying, you're going to think about what you did, young man. Have you ever been so wrong in your life and exposed of that wrongness and you are just cut to the heart and you are just slammed across the face? You've been so passionate. You thought that what you were doing was right and somebody says, by the way, it's been wrong. This is the realization that Paul is coming to. The one who he's been opposing his whole life, passionately opposing, is now speaking to him from heaven saying, "You got it wrong." And most of the time when we get those gut punches, when we are overflowing with guilt and shame, we want to run away from those feelings. We want to go to a bottle of Jack and say, "I just don't want to feel it." We want to go do something with our hands or our mind so we don't have to face the reality of what we really are. But Paul is not given that freedom. Verse 8, Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. God said to Saul, "You got 3 days to think about what you did. 3 days of darkness to think about what you did." I've never been in jail, but they say that solitary confinement is one of the most difficult things. All right, I'll quote a movie and say, a day in the hole is like a week, right? That's not a movie that you should watch. God closed Saul's eyes, and said, "You're going to process through what you've done. You're going to think about what you've done." So it's not bad enough that his legs are cut under him. He's got to think about it for 3 days. Let me just ask you a question. If you spent your whole life opposing the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up in the sky and says, "You were wrong, buddy. You're going to listen to me from now on." What would you think in those 3 days? What do you think Paul thought about for those 3 days? No doubt he would have felt shame. Right? Paul has come to the realization of what he really is. He thought he was doing things to honor God, but what he was really doing was opposing God. He thought God was smiling at what he was doing, but what he realizes is God hated what he was doing. Can you imagine how that would feel? What have I done? Looking back at your life thinking, "I was standing there when Stephen was killed and I was applauding their efforts for killing God's child. I ripped families apart because I thought that what I was doing was right." Paul is face to face with a mirror of who and what he really is. He is a wretched and evil man. But then he is face to face with the grace of Jesus Christ. He's face to face with the God who he rejected and is looking at Paul and saying, "How about we give this another go? Let's make another choice about me." And so Paul is now looking at his life and his ability to make the decisions, and he's looking at Jesus Christ. And God says, "I've got a mission for you." Jesus says, "Paul, I've got a mission for you." So now, once again, Paul has an opportunity to choose what he thinks about Jesus Christ. Prior to this, he said, "I reject you, Jesus." But now he's face to face with the God whom he opposed, who is real, and who is willing to forgive him of his sins. Right? That's like the easiest decision in the world, right? If I'm Paul and I'm looking at my past and thinking, "I can't trust myself. I can't trust my own ability to make a decision. I was convinced that what I was doing was right when really what I was a murderer." And Jesus is offering me a new way in which he will forgive me of my sins. Paul had to make a change. What was that change? Paul had to give up all executive power of his life. Paul said, "I'm not making any more decisions." Paul says, if you leave me to make decisions, I'm going to make bad decisions. So you know what, Jesus, is what Paul's saying? Whatever you want me to do, I will do that. There are two places you can go when you go to Jesus. You can either accept him as your God, or you can reject him as your God. Now here's what we do, just as a side note, here's what we do in America. We like to choose a third option. We say, "I like to co-lead with Jesus. I like to co-lead with Jesus. I love the fact that Jesus gives me forgiveness and he forgives me of my sins and lets me go to heaven. But there's some things that I don't want to give up. There's some things that I'm not ready to let Jesus be in control of my life." We think there's this third option of like, "I'm going to co-lead with Jesus." Let me make this clear to you today. And I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but you guys have gotten to know me and know that this is what I am. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus Christ needs any advice from you and I? Do you think Jesus in heaven is thinking, let me think what's best for my children. I'm not really sure. Can you guys give me some feedback on what's best for you? Jesus doesn't need our wisdom. He knows so much more than we do. And Paul came face to face with that reality on that day. Paul said, I am so wrong, and you are so right, Jesus. And so Paul doesn't negotiate with God and have some kind of co-leadership where he says, okay, I'm going to give you Sunday mornings, and I'm going to give you one night a week, but the rest of it's mine. I'm going to pull the levers. Paul says, I'm done. I'm done making decisions, because when I make decisions, I murder people. I oppose the will of God. So you know what? I'm out of the game of making decisions, is what Paul says. Jesus is offering me another way. I'm taking it. And Jesus is going to call the shots from now on. This is what makes Paul so effective. No matter what Jesus Christ told him to do, he did it. It didn't matter. You wonder why Paul was doing what he was doing? Go to Acts chapter 26. This is Paul's re-encounter, his own understanding of his conversion. Acts chapter 26. Do you want to know why Paul went from town to town preaching the gospel? Do you want to know why Paul devoted his entire life to preaching the name of Jesus? You want to know why? Because Jesus told him to. That's exactly why. Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 16. This is the same account, but about 20 years later. Jesus says to the apostle Paul, "But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things which you have seen me and to those in which I appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Jesus Christ looks at Paul and he says, Paul, you've spent your life opposing me. I want you to flip the script. I want you to do everything that I tell you to do. And one of the things I want you to do is I want you to tell everybody who you know about Jesus Christ. Is he okay? That's my boy. That's why he's in here. The Apostle Paul didn't do what he wanted to do. The Apostle Paul didn't call the shots of his life. He didn't say, hey God, I've got a great idea. The Apostle Paul said, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to do it. And Jesus says, I'm going to show you how much you're going to suffer, and you're going to go out and you're going to tell everybody about Jesus. And Paul said, you got it. I will do whatever you tell me to do, Jesus, because what I do is wretched and evil. Therefore, I'm not making any more decisions. And here's the most beautiful part about Paul's life. It wasn't like a blip. Sometimes Christians, you see this, they get Jesus and they're like, awesome, and they figure out how much they need Jesus, and then they start to build a little bit of confidence, and then they think, you know what, I don't need Jesus as much as I did anymore. You know what, Holy Spirit, you can take a day off because I got this from now on. Paul never got there. From the day that he got converted on the road to Damascus to the last things that we read in 2 Timothy, Paul is still dependent on the Lord. He never outgrew his need for God. He never said, you know what, God? I'm an apostle. I've been serving you for 25 years. I've led thousands of people to Christ. You can take a break because I got this today. Every single day, Paul understood he needed Jesus. And every single day, he did what Jesus told him to do. We have a very special treat, and in just a minute, we're going to bring Lois in. I will brag about Lois when she's not here because she hates it when you brag about her. Here's what we know about Miss Lois. We'll expose this, but she's not perfect. But Miss Lois has spent her life, at least as much as I've known her, trying to do what Jesus told her to do. Not what the world wants her to do, not what she thinks she should do. She spent her life trying to do what Jesus Christ is telling her to do. Let me ask you that about your life. Why do you do what you do? Whatever it is. If you're a man, you've probably got a project right now. You've got something in the works. Did Jesus tell you to do that? Or did you do that because you wanted to do that? Families, we have our schedules all scheduled out. We've got our lives figured out. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus tell you to do that? Or did you determine that on your own? Because let me be clear to you. If the answer is no, Jesus did not tell me to do these things, I didn't really even ask Jesus. Let me just be honest with you. Those things are a waste of your time. Now, if Jesus did tell you to do those things, and you're doing what Jesus told you to do, there will be eternal fruit forever and ever and ever. You will stand in heaven a billion years from now and say, remember, Jesus, when you told me to do this, and I did it? That's the fruit that you will see for all of eternity if you're living the life that Jesus has called you to. So if you could grab Miss Lois. We're going to be blessed today by Miss Lois. I just want you, as she talks, I just want you to reflect on your own life and think, do I do what Jesus tells me to do? Because that's what Paul did. Paul recognized, I can't make my own decisions. I'm terrible at making decisions. Therefore, I'm giving the reins over to Jesus Christ. Is that your life? Do you surrender everything to Jesus Christ, or do you try to co-lead with Jesus? Do you try to give Jesus some information that he can help him out with? So I'm going to pray, and they're going to come in. It's going to be a bit disjointed, but we're going to talk to Miss Lois. But I just want you to ask that about your life. Why do you do what you do? Do you do it because Jesus told you to? Or because you want to? Or because somebody else told you to do? Or because it's what we're supposed to do, right? My encouragement to you is, do what Jesus Christ tells you to do. Because that's what made Paul so effective. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to see the Apostle Paul. We thank you for our church. And we just pray that we would do the things that you've called us to do. Father, we are so encouraged by the fact that a man that was a murderer could turn his life around and serve you. But we know that that was only done through your grace and through your love. So, Father, we thank you for the example. In your name, amen.